Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you came by this morning. We decided today that we would discuss with Monica and Shelley about some of the more favorable things that we can do with food and supplements to help support our brain function. Now, there's been a lot of talk, especially on our show recently, about brain activity due to the young girl, the 13-year-old that had the tonsillectomy and has been deemed brain dead. And her parents are keeping her alive on a support system and also getting her nourished intravenously in the hopes that something will happen and the rest of her body is supported if and when her brain should start to function again. Now, the medical experts, of course, are telling the whole world that that's not going to happen, that the brain won't do that. Well, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not really overly educated. But one thing I do know is that we learn all the time. Everybody talks about the fact that we only use a very small part of our brain. And we also did a show one day about the unforgettable people, the people who are capable of having instant recollection of years ago, the sounds, the smells, what they were wearing, how they felt that day. It's autobiographical memory, which means that it's only about them. They don't necessarily record or retain other people's stuff, but they absolutely do their own. And there's not a lot of them in our world, at least not a lot that have made it known that they have these capabilities. But for me, in my limited knowledge and my limited expertise, makes a lot of sense to me that if we can open up parts of our brain and utilize them without even knowing that we can do it, just all of a sudden realizing that that channel has been opened up, then who's to say that a dormant brain, one that is kept alive by outside sources, can't do some regeneration, can't get to a better place? I don't know that I'd want to take that chance if that was my child and just say, okay, she's gone. One of the shows that we did this year was about near-drowning victims. Many years ago, if you pulled somebody out of a pool or the ocean or a puddle and they weren't breathing, they were declared dead. Now we know that it's, of course, all about the oxygen and many extenuating circumstances, but the possibilities are there. The possibilities have occurred where somebody has been as long as 10 minutes without breath. Now, is that a good thing? No. It's kind of a sad thing. Actually, the name of the organization of parents, I think, I was trying to remember it the other day, parents of near drowning or something like that. There's a whole organization that supports these people. And yes, survival is not always beautiful and rosy, but it is survival. So it opens up this arena for us to really talk about nourishing our brain and utilizing it. Now there's even games online that you can do that actually hone your brain, hone your memory, your ability to solve problems. So we learn more and more every day. So let's open up and let's talk to the ladies about some of the different supplements and nourishing foods and availability of things that are going to help us enhance our brains and put them at top level form. Good morning, Monica. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning.
Good morning, ladies.
How are y'all?
Doing real good.
Doing well. How are you?
That's good. I'm good. I'm sitting here this morning looking out at the beautiful, like, rosy-colored sky, and it's supposed to be in the 80s. I went in up to my waist in my pool yesterday, and then I woke up this morning and saw all the pictures of all those poor people up north again, and I'm reading lots of four-letter words on Facebook due to the four-letter word snow. So,
yeah.
I guess we're probably in the best part of the world right now. So,
yes, you are compared to even here, and I'm in the midsection. It's raining, and it's 35 degrees, and I want to be down there in Florida so bad.
Yeah, it's it does something to your speaking of brains. It does something to that functionality as well. Your surroundings and the whole attitude that emanates through the air. Shelley and I have laughed about this before. Years ago when I lived in Ithaca, Ithaca's in a valley. And if it's cold in the rest of the world, it stays colder 4 or 5 days longer in Ithaca just because it's down in that valley. You know, it kind of like holds that cold and that dreariness. And I always waited on table in those days. I always worked in restaurants. And you, the minute anything green picked out of the ground, you'd swear everybody was high that whole day. I mean, it was like, oh, my God, there's crocuses on my side yard. And everybody's like, you know, it's fun to watch. But then the next day, if those little green tips are covered with snow, look out. Look out. So Our surroundings, our weather, our atmosphere has a lot to do with our social behavior and our mood swings, I guess. So I know that Monica heard most of what I talked about earlier, and I think Shelley heard part of it. But isn't it a good question to think about the fact, well, like this thing that's going on with, I think her name is pronounced Magi, the 13-year-old girl, when we know that so many other things have been accomplished in regard to a brain resting or being hibernating, if you will, like our computers do, and shutting down for a while until it's healed. I mean, that's what they say a coma is. That's why they say if somebody hurts themselves, and that's what happened to my Michael. He landed on his head. A car hit him. He went way up in the air and landed on his head, and he was in a coma for 10 days. Doctors explained to me because the brain was traumatized inside his skull, so it would shut down, so that he could, you know, the rest of his body could recoup, and the swelling had to subside in his brain. And then all the people, the people that don't forget anything. That was an amazing show, an amazing story. So I don't know, you know, and I know that there are, there is brain food. There are things out there that support our brain system and help us through foggy periods, Alzheimer's, ADHD, all the different things that have new labels today. So let's get into that. Monica, did you do some research after we talked the other day or text the other day, and do you have some things you'd like to open up with?
Mostly the things that I have talked about before, certain mm-hmm. Minerals and food choices you make. Plus, there's some actual things that we haven't talked about, like wheatgrass, spirulina. We haven't talked too much about coconut oil and how that all helps the brain become more cognitive, your memory. It actually boosts your mood. things like that. There's so much food choices, mostly, that would really help someone who is feeling like they're in a fog or depression or even ADHD. And those are food choices that you would avoid, like too much gluten, the bread that's on the market, things like that, sugar, things like that.
Can we talk a little bit about gluten, ladies? Because there's so much information today out there about gluten. Do you think gluten actually has a part in the story about our brains and about our ability to think things through and to evaluate things and make decisions that are well thought out? Gluten, I know, is blamed for lots of things. Do you think it's a part of what goes on with our brains, to the fogginess and things like that?
I do, definitely. And it's not, it's for, what, thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, whatever, people have bred has been their only means of eating. Everybody has made bread in one form or another, but the way the wheat in our country has been manipulated, wheat hundreds of years ago, 100 years ago, used to be 4-5 foot tall. Now it's only 2 foot tall to make it easier for the farmer to harvest it. It's been not genetically modified, it's been manipulated. So it's not the same wheat that they had 100 years ago. And it's affecting and causing all kinds of allergies and problems with ADHD and the gluten. There are things you can do by buying different kinds of wheat, but and making your own bread, sourdough. If somebody is gluten sensitive and they switch to making their own sourdough bread and grinding their own wheat, organic wheat, all of a sudden they're not gluten sensitive. They're not a celiac anymore. So it has to do with the manipulation of our food in this country. And you know, all that affects their body, their mind. Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with it.
Anything that causes an allergic response to the body can cause brain fog and things like that. That's one of the symptoms that is caused by allergies. So gluten as an allergen would then also produce emotional and mental reactions. It can cause someone to feel agitated, irritated, brain fog, you know, all those types of mental symptoms can result from having an allergic reaction to food. And I think it's important to make people understand when we're talking about gluten, superfoods like wheatgrass juice would not have gluten in it because there's no seed. Wheatgrass juice is made from the actual grass before it grows into a stalk. Once it grows into a stalk and it goes brown and there's seeds at the tip, the gluten is actually inside the seed. It's not in the baby stages where it's still looking like grass before it's grown into a stalk. So that's important that there is no gluten in wheatgrass juice. And if you're taking sprouted grain breads, such as Ezekiel bread, any people with celiac can tolerate that because, again, you're sprouting it. You're not pulverizing the seed, and it's actually a different product.
Right.
But isn't there some manna bread? I don't want to lead people down a rosy path here. Isn't there some manna bread that is out there on the market that does have a trace of gluten in it?
I'm not talking about manna bread. Manna bread is a slightly different product. And again, if somebody has really severe celiac, they would have to find out whether or not Ezekiel or Emmanuel is two different types of sprouted grain breads. And there's others out on the market. These are the two that are most commonly used, though. And some celiacs can tolerate Ezekiel or manna bread, but, again, you would have to find out your own level of sensitivity to see if you could tolerate that. But you have to go with organic foods, obviously, and sprouted grain bread sometimes can be tolerated by someone with celiac. But, you know, there's different stages of celiac. Some people are so sensitive they can't even tolerate the sprouted breads either.
Okay, and how do you both feel about things like what you prepare your food in? You know, like there's a lot of talk about Teflon and things like that that we've, you know, that has, I mean, that's been around since I was like a teenager. Nonstick pans. We went from iron skillets that they were gross. You guys, I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember an iron skillet. You had to season it all the time. It was rough. They would be gross.
I would love an iron skillet. Oh, Lord, I've been looking. They are amazing. If you know how to season it correctly and keep it seasoned, I would love one of those. But Teflon, no, I've gotten rid of all my Teflon. I don't cook in Teflon, no.
Yep,
okay.
No, I stopped cooking in Teflon for the same reason, because it's so hazardous to your health. Again, primarily brain function because of the toxicity that goes into it, but it can cause all other kinds of health issues because it shuts down the immune system. You can't ingest Teflon without having major health impairment. And most people that own Teflon pans, if you look at them, they have scratches and pieces of
mm-hmm.
Teflon missing. Where did it go?
Yeah.
It went into food.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all you have to do is cook it a couple of times.
Have you seen those green ceramic pans? Those things are great. They're made out of ceramic. They're nonstick finished. They don't scrape off. Nothing comes. They're like the new craze now. It's like these new green... these green pans, nonstick pans, and they're basically
mm-hmm.
made out of a powdered ceramic, which doesn't flake off into the food. They're really good.
Okay, so how do we feel about those? I mean, nobody said anything bad about those yet, but they didn't say anything about Teflon for 20 years. So,
well, as long
how
as the part come off in the food, I don't see how it can be harmful. But you're right; I haven't seen any negative studies, and I actually own one. And it nothing comes out into the food. It doesn't flake. You're not sitting there scraping it because the food just slides right out.
Mhm. Mhm.
Well, I don't have any of those, so I can't speak about it.
Yeah, I haven't purchased one of those yet either. But I do think that they are right now. They appear to be the best thing out there for that kind of food. I'm always leery because, you know, Teflon was like the cutting edge when I was a kid. Now, what about aluminum foil?
I don't use aluminum foil, and I don't use, now this is going to seem strange, but I don't use antiperspirant or any deodorant that comes off the market, because putting in antiperspirant, they use aluminum as one of the preservatives or whatever they do with it, and it's been known to cause breast cancer. So I don't use that as a deodorant or antiperspirant. I use other things, natural, coconut oil, my magnesium spray, and... because I've changed my diet, I don't have an issue with that. Yes, I still sweat, and that's good. That's getting rid of your toxins coming out of your body, but I don't use any kind of deodorant or any, you know, thing like that. I know it sounds weird.
No, I agree with that, because I had spoken on the show one time that there's actually, and this has been known for decades, by the way, that's why I wish it would be in the media more, but there's been a link between antiperspirants, because of the alum in it, and
mm-hmm.
Alzheimer's and brain dysfunction such as that, because of the toxicity, the metal toxicity that it causes in the body. I stopped using antiperspirants about 20 years ago, and that's when this study came out. And there were a lot of articles. It hit the media, and within like a few months, nobody was talking about it anymore. But you can go in all these health food stores, and there's about like a dozen different companies now that make aluminum-free deodorant. But like if you go into a regular department store or like a Publix or a Walmart or, you know, just normal stores, you know, that sell products, you really can't find any that say that. A lot of these products that are free of this and free of that, you have to buy at health food stores like Whole Foods and other places like that.
Right.
Well,
yeah, it would be great if people would – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, how do you both feel about how all the things that we just talked about, the gluten, the Teflon, the aluminum foil, antiperspirants, do you both think that they have something to do with brain fog and inability to stay focused, all those kind of things? Do you think there's a link to all of those with that?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's no doubt about it that almost everything we do in our convenient lifestyle today ends up backfiring on some level. There's too many things that we do for convenience sake, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's because people aren't educated to understand what the choice for convenience is doing to them. But a lot of the products that are sold to us so that, you know, you don't sweat anymore – well, think about that. It's really not healthy not to sweat. Not even if it wasn't because of the alum in it. The bottom line is your body needs to sweat. That's where your lymphatic system is. That's how you purge the body of toxins. If you're plugging up your sweat glands and not allowing them to release toxins, that's harmful, you know. And I used to use antiperspirants before I read this. So it's like, you know, so I understand why people feel that that's an appropriate thing to do. But I've only used deodorants now for 20 years. Once you get to the point where you start looking at what these products do to you, then you're like, wow, I can't believe I ever used it. You know, but for decades I did use antiperspirants, and it seemed like the right thing to do until I, you know, really thought about the function of the body and why you sweat to begin with. It's not healthy. I did create a list of 9 quick things, Reen, that have to do with brain function. I'd like to read that list, and then maybe we can talk off of this.
Yeah, but let me intervene real quick because I have somebody that I want to bring into the show. She's just clicked on that she wants to talk. This is Elise. I'm going to bring her in. Hi,
okay.
Elise. How are you?
Hi there. I actually thought that when I clicked on, it was just to show you that I'm here. The only thing I could say on that topic, believe it or not, I graduated college in 1989, but in about, I guess it was 1987, I did a report on this, on antiperspirant and its link to Alzheimer's and the aluminum chlorohydrate and the aluminum zirconium. And so I guess, I don't know, I was about 18 or 19 at the time, so
isn't that amazing?
I knew about this so many years ago. Gosh, 30 years ago, something like that. So
and yeah, look at all the
of
new products out today, ever more that are antiperspirants. And now they're selling it like the Axe for Men. They're selling it with sex appeal involved and stuff like that. And it's like this has been known for how many decades, you know? And yet. And yet the FDA approves, you know, people think the FDA is out there to protect them. How is the FDA allowing something like this to still be put in products when there are so many safer versions out there to take care of that issue with people?
It's all about money, Shell. We all know that. But I don't want to get into that conversation today because we could all get really upset and excited about talking about how money takes precedence almost over everything. But we end up there a lot of times when we talk about this kind of stuff. So let's hear your list, Shell.
Okay, I'm just going to read through the list and then we can discuss the different points. All right, 9 quick things that will improve brain function. The first thing is to drink water, not soda. Soda is extremely acidic and does affect brain function. All right, so drinking water, as the best water that you can. Even high alkaline water is even good for the brain, but drinking water as opposed to soda. The second thing is not to use anything that, and it's funny that Monica brought that up because that was the second thing on my list. Don't use things that toxify the body because it gets into the brain, such as antiperspirants, sunscreens, things that have aluminums and leads in them. The third thing is to choose to have a good attitude because this is, in fact, a choice. And the more times that you proactively choose to have a better response to things that are happening to you, you can prevent what are called depression hormones. When you allow yourself to become enraged or to feel sad over a situation where you can choose just to kind of, have a better attitude towards it, you can prevent your body from releasing these damaging hormones that can cause immune deficiencies. The fourth thing is blue-green algae. We talked about that a couple of times on the show. Blue-green algae is one of the highest beneficial foods for brain function. It's available in liquids and capsules and flakes. The one that we talk about is from a place, it's harvested in Kalmuth, Oregon, and there's many different versions of it out, and there's several different companies that sell it. But blue-green algae is superior for brain function. Omega-3 oils. Now, obviously, I advocate from vegetarian sources, and I have a whole list of different vegetarian sources of omega-3s, essential to brain function, essential to brain function. As a matter of fact, the depletion of omega-3s in our diet today have been linked to Alzheimer's, ADHD, a lot of the different brain dysfunctions that are out there because our diets are so depleted in omega-3s. The vegetarian sources of omega-3s are much safer than fish oils and other types of oils, and there's all kinds of studies showing that now. Essential silica is another supplement that affects or improves brain function, memory, alertness, things like that. Good sources of B-complex, and again, there are vegetarian sources of B-complex. And believe it or not, chiropractic or other cervical adjustments. If your neck is out of alignment, if you suffered injury, if you're always working out with your arms and shoulders, if you're doing things that can cause subluxations in the neck area, that can cause brain fog. It can cause everything from headaches to confusion to irritability. So if you know that you've taken a fall or that maybe you have an injured disc, maybe you have a herniated disc, you should have regular, like it doesn't mean every week. It could be every couple of months. Make sure you're getting adjustments or you're doing yoga. There's something called the Mortar March. Dr. Mortar has his best practitioner out there. You can go online and Google Mortar March, and you can actually see this position you do. And you could actually align your own neck and, you know, your own spine with this. But subluxations in the spine can cause all kinds of brain issues. And the last one, number 9, is doing a candida cleanse if you suspect you may have an issue with that. Candida is very, very prolific. It's one of the illnesses that almost the majority of people nowadays have and don't even know they have it. And candida can cause brain fog, headaches, all the same issues. So you have these same symptoms that can be caused by hundreds of different things. But these are some of the most common things and easy to address for people to try to give their brain kind of a fresh start, and these are some simple things that people can address to begin with to start getting more clarity and better function out of their brain.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to add.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Add.
Oh, okay. I'd like to add. A lot of people on Candida, they don't know if they have it. Well, I have a simple test on how you could find out if you have it, and that is first thing in the morning, as soon as you get up, don't take a drink of anything, get a glass of water, a clear glass of water so you can see the water through the glass, and gather up some saliva in your mouth and spit into the glass and let it sit there on the counter. And if you see your spit sitting right on top of the water and not moving or not doing anything, then it's a good chance that you don't have candida. But what most people will find is that spit of saliva will start, it'll still be on top, but you'll see like legs coming down towards the bottom of the glass. And you do have candida. And that's when you know that you got to start cleaning up your diet. If you see those legs of saliva moving down towards the bottom, you have candida. And
right.
It works. I've done it.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Right. Yeah, there's
wow,
a,
that's
I've seen a lot
that's
of things that
test.
That test. That there's, I think that what they said is because there was one woman who did have candida, and she said she did the spit test and nothing happened, and they said it's extremely, extremely rare, but with certain, there's one strain of candida where the spit test doesn't show it. So if you're like pretty sure you have candida, maybe you have thrush on your tongue or you have other things that are obvious symptoms of candida, and this doesn't work, there are other tests that you can do through a doctor's office. But like you said,
right.
In 99.9% of the cases, the spit test is going to be accurate.
I'd like to say something on this candida. I'm actually looking at a video clip I'd like to send to you. It was on YouTube. I think it's about a 20-minute clip, and it is about candida being a fungal infection in the intestines, and mushrooms are antifungal in the body and actually kill candida, because I had a question. I work with a company called New Earth, and Super Blue Green Algae, well, that's another conversation. We'll have that one time. But it's also an algae and fungi company, and I had a question. You know, fungi are tonic mushrooms. I'm thinking, are mushrooms going to create candida in my body or yeast? And so I asked that question, and I was told that reishi mushrooms have more than 10,000 scientific studies annually on their benefits to the immune system and people in chemo. Maitake mushrooms are considered the strongest anti-tumoral agent in the natural world. And then I have this video that goes on to talk about the mushrooms killing candida in the body, because a lot of times we think candida is just yeast, but it's actually, you know, it's one of those components that ends up wreaking havoc in our system and can possibly lead to other things such as cancer. So I actually have a great link. I'd like to send it to you, Reenie, and then you can do what you want with it. I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, but it's really interesting.
Well, one of the biggest problems with candida, it's actually called Candida albicans, is that it's a malevolent bacteria, for lack of a better way of putting it. And what it does is when it proliferates in numbers, when it gets more in numbers, when it overpopulates the intestinal tract, it actually diminishes the healthy bacteria. There's bacteria that's supposed to be there. There's bacteria that we need to be healthy.
Yeah, good bacteria,
Our intestinal tract is a... it's a chemical farm down there, and it's supposed to process the food as it's going out, fermenting it. The bacteria goes in there and actually processes the food through a biochemical reaction as it goes through the intestinal tract, and then you absorb the nutrients through the intestine walls. Well, if you don't have the friendly bacteria, as they're called, down there, it's called natural flora. If you don't have that natural flora in your gut, you can't pull nutrients out of your foods. And when you have the candida that overpopulates the gut, it prevents this this nutritional processing go on. So you'll get people that will be always hungry. They'll suffer from brain fog. They just feel like they're getting no nutrients from their food. They're always eating. And the main reason is because their gut is basically shut down. They can't pull nutrients from the food, so it doesn't really matter how much they eat because they
that's
can't
right.
pull proper nutrients. So it causes this whole chain effect. So that's why the candida is so harmful. Not only is the candida a malevolent bacteria to the body, but it actually decreases the numbers of the friendly bacteria, so you get an imbalance going in the other direction.
Okay,
wow.
Now I'm going to throw something in there for all of you to take some consider.
consideration for, because a lot of the things that we talk about on this show, we see commercials and people selling products and things like that on television every day, which is confusing for a lot of our listeners and consumers in general. What about all the yogurt commercials here lately? Jamie Lee Curtis has talked about it. Now we've got Reba McEntire. We've got all these movie stars out there talking about the yogurt that increases the good flora in our bellies and do all the kind of stuff like that. How do you all feel about the usage of yogurt with the good bacteria that Shelley's talking about? How do you all feel about that being able to assist in issues like this?
If you already have a candida issue, that type of yogurt is not going to correct it. It's not, because it can't diminish the bad bacteria. It's not going to get rid of the candida. If you were to go on a good candida cleanse, get the body clear, and then maybe try one of these yogurts. I don't like them because they're made with milk, so that's my main issue with Tiva.
I like them if they're made with full fat.
Right.
And from grass-fed cows.
They're not using organic milk, so to me it's not a safe. There are organic milk yogurts out there that if you're still going to do the dairy product, they're safer. But Activa, no, that's not even made with organic milk, so that's the main reason.
No,
that
it's not.
Either not.
And
but there are
organic
yogurts out there that are safe. But you have to clear the candida.
What I do to repopulate my gut is waterkeeper, kombucha. I make my own fermented vegetables, and that is loaded with probiotics.
Right.
And probiotics are so important for your gut health, and those do repopulate your gut with the good bacteria. I don't think I've mentioned this before, but I have a cousin, and his son has autism, and they haven't been doing... he's 24 years old, and up until the last, I'd say, 6 months, they didn't do anything natural for him. And I suggested to them, get the very best probiotic that you can afford and start giving him that, because autism is also related. They have a lot of gut issues, a lot candida. And they did give him the probiotic, and within 3 days, there was a huge improvement because he's very low functioning. He doesn't speak. He doesn't do anything for himself. So there was a huge improvement, and then she started coming to me, and she kind of avoided me before because I go crazy about this stuff. But she started, she started coming to me and saying, tell me more. What else can I do to get probiotics into him? And I'm like, kombucha, kefir, fermented cabbage. It all creates probiotics.
Well, that's a big food in the raw food industry is sauerkraut, homemade fermented sauerkraut. And almost everybody is instructed to eat that with their daily meals for exactly those reasons. So all of this stuff is awesome information. So let me reiterate, though, so we don't confuse anybody. Discounting the fact that if you're not a strict vegetarian, if you still participate in certain kinds of foods, that's your prerogative. We're not telling you you can't do this or you can't do that. We're just trying to give you things that will help you. So, again, Monica believes in a high-fat, natural yogurt. Am I right, Monica?
Absolutely.
Okay. Shelley tends more, she understands the good bacteria that's in the yogurt, but because she's a very strict vegetarian, she doesn't, is not an advocate of whole milk and things like that that are not organic, et cetera. So
I'm also not an
advocate
of yogurt, though, Rini, as far as the vegetarians go, because everybody, that's the most common vegetarian yogurt out there is soy. But in the last few years, because so many people are trying to get away from soy products now,
right,
because 90, something like 95% of it is GMO'd, So people are trying to move away from soy products. But there's now almond yogurt, coconut. I eat coconut yogurt, which is coconut milk
That's
yogurt.
That's very good.
It's very good. It's high in all kinds of
yep.
nutrients. There's also, trying to think, there's a couple of those. Almond and coconut are two of the most common alternatives to soy and regular dairy milk, and they're both very high in nutrients.
Okay. So I hope everybody understood that. And, again, these are choices that are easy to get. You're probably not going to find almond and coconut yogurt in Publix or Walmart or one of those places like Shelley's already mentioned. You'd have to go to a health food store and search. What's springing up all over Florida, though, I want to make mention of this, is lots of green market stores that are not just open on Sunday for farmers to bring their own produce and everything, but they're actually green market stores. And they have everything. You have to
yep.
read labels and you have to pay attention. But they also offer a lot of the choices that the girls are advocating today. Almond milk is almost always available.
A lot of these green markets that are popping up really resemble the original health food stores that opened. I mean, before Whole Foods opened up, which is like this major grocery, it's humongous. It's like a Kmart, you know, or a Walmart or something like that. I mean, they're very big. But when I first became vegetarian, you know, 20-some-odd years ago, and I started going to health food stores, they were usually these little shops, like little mom-and-pop shops. They were usually very small, only a couple of aisles of stuff. And some of these green markets are reminding me of what some of the original health food stores looked like because they were a little bit smaller and more intimate.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a new one out here that's in West Palm Beach that I have shopped in 3 or 4 times now, and they have every vegetable you can possibly imagine. They
wow.
are not all organic, but a lot
mm-hmm.
of them are produced around here and from smaller farmers, and you take you have a better chance of finding something pure if you're not doing commercialized products anyway. I think everybody gets that. But I think that the almond and that sounds delicious to me, coconut, that's the only kind of milk I drink anymore, and I only have it on, like, cereal or something. I'm not a milk drinker like that anymore, but I love almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
And almond milk is good when you're cooking things as well. If you are, if a recipe calls for milk, you can use almond milk in any recipe that calls for milk. So
I tried the almond.
Things...
I'm actually allergic to almonds, but I don't go into anaphylaxis. I actually tried the almond yogurt, thinking that maybe because I'm trying to heal myself of that allergy, and I'm having some success. But I had a little bit of a sore throat when I was done. I didn't want to push it. It didn't go any further than that, but at least I got to try it, and it was absolutely delicious. So I'm really working on my almond allergy to see if I can clear that completely.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I think all these things are good inputs. Now, let's real quick touch on the saliva thing again, because I feel very strongly that I'm going to get some questions about this, because people always like to know more about their own self. Obviously. So wake up in the morning. Monica, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You wake up in the morning before you drink water, before you brush your teeth, before you do anything like that. You gather saliva in your mouth and spit into a clear glass of water. And you watch mm-hmm. the saliva. If it just sits on the top of the water and does not trickle down with any kind of little legs that are coming from the saliva that you've placed on top of the water, if it just stays there in whole, you're good. If it trickles down and you see little things coming down through the clear water, then you know that you have a candida issue. Is that all correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's correct.
And the more legs and the longer the legs become, then that means the more prolific or the more the bigger problem you have with candida, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And number one issue for candida, let's say, all say it together, is the ever famous, ever delicious, everybody wants it, sugar.
Sugar, okay. Yep.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, you know, it's and you know, I'm almost ashamed of myself when I tout this kind of stuff because I struggle with this my whole life. Sugar will scream to me from my bedroom is the furthest away from the kitchen. If there's something with sugar in it, my refrigerator, and I'm laying in bed watching Law and Order reruns, and I want something to help comfort me, the sugar goes, Renee, oh, Renee, I'm out here. So I know this better than anybody, but I also know that when I give up sugar, I have more energy. I am in a better frame of mind. It's amazing, amazing, I'm telling you. It will blow you away to see where you get in your own, in your own domain, your body, where you get when you give up sugar. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I had gone through severe candida. I was so highly allergic to it. I was going to an allergy specialist. This is when I was in my 20s up in New York. And I had candida for most of my life because I was on antibiotics for almost 30 years. I mean, from the time I was 6 years old until my 30s. So I had uncontrollable candida because of all the, I mean, they didn't know back then what they know now about it. But in the middle of me taking all these antibiotics, we started finding out about candida, and they started having me take, you know, certain types of probiotics and stuff. Well, it wasn't helping. It was just too severe with me. I had been on it for, you know, over, you know, like 15 to 20 years by that time, but I had such severe candida that it affected my bladder. I ended up getting chronic bladder infections from the candida, and it actually backed up into my kidneys. So I was a mess. I was just always in pain down there, and it caused all kinds of brain fog and all these other things. You know, when I think back, I'm surprised I was ever able to hold down a full-time job. But all the doctors I went through 8 specialists in under 2 years, and I kept getting worse and worse and worse. And none of them ever told me to change my diet. This is how back then doctors just didn't focus on diet. Now today, at least doctors will tell you to alter your diet if they find you have candida. But back then they didn't. I ended up finding a book called The Candida Diet. I read the book, and I altered my diet on my own. I stopped going to the doctors, and it took me 2 years to clear myself of the candida, but I did. I was successful by sticking to the diet. But there was no fruit on it. I mean, you really had to take all sugar out of your diet, all sugar and bread. And I, at that time, I was still a meat eater, so I ate mainly meats and vegetables and no fruits and no breads. And that was mainly what I lived on for almost a two-year period of time. But I finally cleared myself of the candida.
Mm-hmm. Well, and... So everybody understands the trauma involved with candida. In my history at the Institute, I dealt with a lot of people with very advanced candida.
Mm-hmm.
And very advanced candida can bring on everything we talked about last week, which has to do with mental illness and inability to think rationally, inability to manage yourself rationally. Candida is not just the ever-famous yeast infection that everybody thinks about. The other thing that really, really adds to candida issues, and this is going to bother a lot of you, but hopefully in the weeks to come, we can talk through some of this and help some of you, is antibiotics. Antibiotics are one of the worst things you can throw in your body if you're suffering with candida. And like Shelley and Monica have both said, there's so many other things out there, and it all starts in your belly, and it all starts with what you take in. So it's your choice. It's your choice, like everything else is in this lifetime. So candida and all of the other things that go with this. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, we're down to 10 minutes, and I really want to touch on like things like ADHD. And I suspect I'm going to hear the same things from all of you, but I still want to touch on it so that people out there that tuned in, because I mentioned ADHD, let's talk a little bit about that, things that will help, not things that necessarily cause it to begin with or enhance it, but things that will help with young children with ADHD. Who wants to talk first?
Well, I'll mention this three, and then Monica can expound on it. But you have three of the things that would help someone with ADHD the most would be drinking water, not soda. That's a huge thing, is to get the child to start drinking good, clean, fresh water. The second thing is blue-green algae, and the third thing is omega-3 oils. And like I said, there's a whole bunch of different vegetarian versions of omega-3s. Omega-3 deficiency is very prolific in our society today, and the when you reintroduce it into the diet, they're finding substantial improvements in brain function, especially even with people with Alzheimer's, ADHD, and these type of illnesses and disorders. They've actually been able to reverse Alzheimer's in the early stages because it helps to repair and prevent brain lesions. So omega-3s is very, very important. But those are three of the most substantial things that somebody can do with somebody with ADHD and Alzheimer's, by the way, because they're very similar dysfunctions caused by some of the same nutrient deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think we're
going to
find
that.
Go ahead, honey. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I was just going to agree with that. Also, there's, like we talked about before, magnesium deficiency goes right along with anything that has to do with your mind, your brain. ADHD would certainly help. 80% of the population is magnesium deficient. And by increasing your magnesium, say for a child, spraying some magnesium oil on the bottom of their feet and rubbing it in will certainly help. Epsom salts baths once a week will certainly help. B-complex, a very high-quality B-complex, would definitely help. And that would help with the moods and the clearer thinking and ADHD, that sort of thing. And then no sugar. No breads, you know, that sort of thing. But eating lots of leafy vegetables would be in the interest of somebody who is showing ADHD types of behaviors.
Well, you know, of course, the biggest downfall for most people, most parents with a child who is struggling with ADHD, of course, it has to do with fitting in. And a lot of the programs where we talk about bullying and we talk about being different from everybody else, this all enters into that. So let's have a pretend scenario here. You have a 7-year-old who is really struggling in school. They're in first grade. They may be held back this year because you go through 10 spelling words with them and they get every one of them, and then 3 minutes later you say, okay, let's go this way again, and you take it from the bottom of the list and go up, and they can't read the words. So this child has to stay away from all the things that you just talked about. So that means they can't go to a birthday party. You realize that. They can't go to a run-of-the-mill birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese or McDonald's or the bowling alley because they're going to get fast food, they're going to get so much sugar that it's just like will blow you away. It's going to make your kid different. So now at some point in time, we've got to talk about, and we'll dedicate a whole hour to it, maybe a whole week to it. We have to figure out a way to help all of us be different and embrace it. And by being different, I mean, oh, you got 13, 14, and 15-year-olds, right? And they're going to go to the movies. All right. At the movie snack bar, we've all been to the movies. You're going to get popcorn that's smothered in, sometimes now in the popcorn thing, sugar and cinnamon. or caramel on the popcorn. So can't have that. Can't actually, short of having a bottle of bottled water at a movie theater, there's nothing for your child to have at the snack bar. Okay, so now that means you're going to make him a little baggy of something. He's going to go in now. Again, you're setting him up for being ostracized and being pointed at and being made fun of. So we need to talk about how the parents can enlist the help of all these wonderful, amazing things and not set their child up to be the victim of bullying, being set apart, being made feel so different. One of the most well-adjusted children I've ever spent time with is Brian and Anna Maria Clements' youngest child, Blake. And they made kind of like a lifestyle for him, but they included snacks. They included things. If you shop with Blake at Whole Foods, Blake knows every single snack he can have that is gluten-free, sugar-free, blah, 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 knows all of it because they started when he was like 5 or 6. So when he goes someplace, he is filled with self-esteem and is so assured of who he is, nobody's going to pick on him.
Right.
You see? So
it's funny that you bring that up because that's what I was just going to say, and I know we only have a couple of minutes, so I'm not going to go into detail. But the two ways of dealing this, and we should do a show on it because it's bigger than that, is number one, including the kid in the decision-making, explain to him why these things are better for his body so that the boy, the girl, can actually participate in the decision of what he's going to be doing. And the other thing is that once in a while, going to a birthday party out at a Chuck E. Cheese or something like that, it doesn't have to be where they can never stray from that diet, but they just have to be warned before they go, if you eat all these foods, you're not going to feel good later. If you notice that you feel some brain fog or depression or something, it's temporary. You come home, you drink a bunch of water, and you'll feel better, you know. So let the kid participate in specialty parties, you know, knowing that there's a fix for it when they come home and they within 24 hours they can make themselves feel better. And if you can get the kid participating and they'll see themselves how they feel, they're going to start making better choices on their own anyway, just because they don't want to feel that way again.
Well, and that is
That
is a way to look at it, but I'm going to tell you, raising as many kids as I've raised or helped raise, that's one of those kind of things in theory sounds great and should work. Sometimes when you are in first, second, and third grade, there's a birthday party every single weekend, sometimes two. So it's a bigger issue than just being able to do that, although that would work in some cases. It is a big issue, and parents would say to me that. AJ's birthday party this year, three families came and said, we got to leave because we have three more parties to go to this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is, you know, and you can't, you know, it's hard to say that to an alcoholic, as we all know. You can have one beer today, but go home and drink lots of water and you'll be fine. They're not going to. They're going to go home and drink lots more beer. So it is an issue, and we are going to talk about this. But we're out of time, and I want to thank all of you. Elise, whenever you're ready, call me, and you can have a very, very great show now. We've put some serious groundwork for blue-green algae. So whenever you're ready to come on the show and talk about it, all you got to do is give me a shout, you and Barbara, or just you. Barbara lives on the West Coast. That will be very difficult to manifest. But I want to thank you, ladies. You are all incredibly knowledgeable, and I love the simplicity of everything that you explained today, and hopefully, you know, we did something to set somebody's mind at ease or give them a new avenue to pursue. So thanks very much. Everybody go out there and have an awesome, awesome day. Again, revel in the fact that pretty soon it will be spring for all you poor snowbound folks up there. Monica, thanks again. We will have you back on
the
show next Wednesday. And, of course, you're welcome to come on the show whenever you'd like if you have something to add to our conversation. I give you a day, and then I don't hear from you the rest of the time. You can call whenever you want, honey.
Okay.
Ciao.
Great.
Thanks
Thank you.
Again.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, everybody, go out there and make it a great day. God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Everyone, have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.